Thanks, Ivy. I'm in the studio today with Jenny Kimmel, who is with SOW Permaculture. That's S-O-W Permaculture. How you doing, Jenny?
I'm doing great, Monica. How are you?
I'm doing great, too. And we're excited because, let's face it, it's dreary, it's winter, but we can start thinking about planting things, can't we?
Oh, yeah. It's that time is already here. The vacation period for growers and farmers is over, even though it's only January.
So we had a little downtime for the planting people.
Yeah.
All right. So how early can we start putting some things out?
Well, if you're starting things in a greenhouse, especially cold hardy varieties, now is the time to start a bunch of stuff, especially edible things that you're going to transplant into the ground later in the season. So you give them a head start in that greenhouse, and then after the first frost, you can go ahead and pop them into the ground. So that's one option. A lot of seeds also, especially if native varieties, are seeds that need a period of cold dormancy. So you can even plant them outside in pots, let them freeze and thaw and freeze and thaw. That's what happens in the woods, right? Or in the fields. So they need that mimicking to start to germinate. And then once they're sprouted, you can transplant those also.
Are there some edible plants who need that sort of freezing technique?
Oh yeah, definitely. Lots of edible varieties need that. And, you know, things like, if you wanted to start nuts, like chestnuts need to have a period of cold before they'll germinate. Mm-hmm. It's called cold stratification. And there's tons of native varieties and edible varieties that need that period of cold stratification. And you can do a quick search online and that'll bring up, you know, hundreds of things.
Well, let's talk for a second about the name of your company, SOW Permaculture. What does that mean? Tell us what that means.
Well, some people know this and some don't, but to sow a seed is spelled S-O-W, so instead of S-E-W, like sowing some clothes.
Right.
So, the idea is just sowing seeds of change, sowing seeds for, you know, plants that can benefit both people and natural environments. So,
in permaculture?
Permaculture is just a design science, draws on a lot of indigenous knowledge, and it's really just about paying attention, going slower, listening to the land, what it might want, rather than what we as humans want to impose on the land, and really studying natural ecosystems and seeing if we can not mimic them, but if we can sort of work in harmony with them. It's like co-designing. You're listening to this thing telling you something, and you're like, okay, well, I'm going to add this my artistic interpretation, and it becomes this, you know, sort of a collaborative project between you and the natural world.
Well, that's cool to hear, and it seems like these days people are paying more attention to the plants that are more native to a region, to their region. Help us understand what native means. I know some people like to say, oh, native means anything in the U.S. or anything like in this 1 mile radius. How do you define native?
Yeah, so, you know, there are native plants that have been evolving with like a local ecology for a long period of time, sometimes thousands of years. So those plants are indigenous or native to that place. They've been there in co-relationship with all the other plants around them for a really long period of time, versus a plant that might be non-native that has been imported from, let's say, England or anywhere in Europe or Africa or Asia. Those would be non-natives. And then there's another category, which is invasive plants. Not all non-native plants are bad, but the invasive plants, there's an argument about that too, whether they're good or bad. We won't pass judgment on that. But invasive plants are non-natives that can really take over an environment with a lot of speed. So they're ones to watch out for.
And push out the things that really were supposed to be there and are maybe more beneficial to the environment. So knowing that these things are important to, maybe we don't know these things are important. Why is it important to have native plants in an area? What does it do for the ecosystem to return your landscaping back to the sort of native environment that it was before?
Yeah, well, You know, it's just that those native plants are part of an evolutionary process, and they're in relationship with all of the other plants and animals around them. So the more natives you have, the more food there is for the native wildlife, for the birds, for all the different animals, for the microorganisms in the soil, for succession, which is going to lead on to different habitats and ecologies to form. So that's a big question. But in essence, I guess you could say you're helping your neighbors, human and non-human.
Well, and the other sort of cool thing about natives is that because they, you know, have grown up in this area, because they're normal in this area and they're used to this area, they're not as hard to maintain.
Oh, certainly. They don't need, the watering and fertilizer and other things that, you know, planting, conventional landscaping plants, for instance, might need, or certainly having a lawn is pretty extractive of resources. Whereas native plants, they don't need a lot, but they provide a lot. You know, they're beautiful and resilient and blooming often. And you know all this because you're a master naturalist, right?
It was nice of you not to say nerd, but yes, that's true. So let's talk a little bit. Can we talk about bugs? Can we talk about bugs for just a minute?
Sure.
Bugs are just wicked fun, and we tend to want to just kill a bug.
Mm.
But why are bugs important?
Oh, well, they're also a part of that intricate and complex ecology, and most of them are doing super important work, decomposing something, especially things we tend to be scared of. They're either doing work pollinating or they're doing work eating the insects that eat our plants and us. So, you know, I like to leave the spiders in my house. The specific spiders I have actually trap the stink bugs and eat them. I'm like, thanks, little spider.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Although it does make for an odd smell suddenly just randomly in the house. But yes, I've had that happen. So that's important. The bugs that are here, they too like native plants, right?
Oh, certainly. Yeah. And interestingly, some of the bugs that are here that are native to here can help capture, kill, parasitize, and deal with invasive pests that can be a real problem for our food crops, or again, like insects that kind of plague us and give us trouble as humans.
Yeah. Well, and it's pretty exciting to think about the fact that there really is such a balance in nature and how it takes care of itself. And sometimes we people sort of get in the way just a little bit. So let's talk about just some of your favorite plants that people might consider. Because sometimes I think we think, oh, you know, if I don't want to do natives because they're not pretty. And I like my crazy plant that came from some faraway Asian place. But there's beautiful, beautiful native plants that we can use.
Oh, yeah. Just, I can definitely nerd out on that. incredible, beautiful native plants. You know, one of my favorite is milkweed, which is great for the monarchs and smells just absolutely heavenly. If you've ever walked around in midsummer, early fall, the milkweed is like, the aroma is heavenly and quite beautiful to behold. Goat's beard is a really fun one, a gorgeous plant. There's a ton of viburnums that are native and that are really great with berries for birds and the flowers. You know, people like those snowball Chinese viburnums that are non-native, but there's a ton of native viburnums that are equally beautiful and really great. You know, I love a lot of the edible native things. Milkweed is one of those, but even talking about
Wait a minute, you can eat milkweed?
You can. It puts out these little broccoli-like florets in the spring, and you snip them off and steam them, and they're fantastic.
I had no idea.
Yeah. Some of the bigger natives, like, people probably pretty familiar with persimmons, right? The native persimmons are just fantastic. They're beautiful trees, beautiful wood. And, of course, the delicious – some people might not have that. If you eat them at the wrong time, the persimmons aren't good. But ripe persimmons are like nothing else.
Yeah. The people who say they don't like persimmons, I think, are the people who have had them at the wrong time.
Yeah. Another fun – is spicebush native up
yes.
here?
Yeah.
That's another great, beautiful native. If you have a shady yard, spicebush have these fragrant leaves. You can make tea out of them. They have a little berry that you can dry or grind and use in cooking and – the wildlife appreciates them too.
And they're beautiful. They have beautiful leaves, beautiful berries. So these are great suggestions. If we wanted to ask you some questions and maybe follow up with you a little bit, tell us where we can find So Permaculture.
My website is sopermaculture.org. That's S-O-W. permaculture.org, and you can email me at so.permaculture@gmail.com. That's also on the website. And yeah, have a consultation. I do lots of design work for clients. So let's say you wanted a native or edible landscape. I could put you on the track towards having that if you're not familiar with a lot of these plants.
Oh, I love that. And, you know, I do think that there are people who think if they're going to landscape, they've got to use, you know, the stuff they've seen at the doctor's office for 50 years. But, you know, you can make some beautiful landscaping decisions using native and edible plants.
Oh, absolutely. Full of flowers, fruit, beauty, birds, you know, order. So all good.
Great. Well, Jenny, thank you so much for being with us in the studio today.
Thank you so much, Monica.
All right. And this has been Monica Hull for the 276 News. Thanks for listening.